Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Show 105.7 FM 1250 AM in the radio.com app. 4 o'clock hour, getting ready for the Packers and Ravens. The only station you want to get loaded up for the Packers with. 105.7 FM The Fans, Wendy's Big Show. 2-4 Packers, the only show in the state that can say that.
Only show.
Roy Butler and Gary Ellerson for Badger and Packer running back in here, along with myself, Bill Baby Tao Schmidt, and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Enjoying the program at 414-799-1250. If you feel compelled to pick up a phone, you can dial that number and join us on the Wendy's Big Show. Do you believe Tim Boyle can be a long-term option at quarterback? 414-799-1250. I ask the captain of the Tim Boyle fan club, the man I look at with the bright, shining face, Leroy Butler, Leap 36.
I would love to see him get an opportunity. We've given Deshaun Kizer enough opportunity. Matter of fact, they put Kizer in a live game before, and he's improved, though. I will say he's improved. They need to find out. As soon as Aaron comes out, eight needs to go in there. That also is one of my favorite Brewers, Ryan Braun. He needs to go out there, and they need to find out. They need to find out if they're going to have to bring in a veteran. That would be next week. I don't know what veterans are out there because obviously they don't want to bring in Kaepernick, but I don't know who's out there, but they need to find out, is he going to be a viable option? If that's the case, then Deshaun Kizer, I don't think he can be a third option. They would have to either trade him or release him. But you need to find out how good Boyle is. I mean, for a while they had us sold on this Callahan thing for a while. They gave him an opportunity, but for some reason it just didn't work. And then they had, what's the kid name that play all positions up in New
Taysom
Orleans?
Taysom Hill.
Yeah, that kid was here, and everybody thought he was the best of all time, and he left. So they need to start developing. I mean, this doesn't cost you anything. Nothing. I mean, he's making – I mean, well, in the real world, he makes pretty good money. But in the football sense, you can develop him for a few years, but before you get to that point, you need to find out in live ammunition. Ryan Wood hit a nugget.
What Ryan Wood hit?
Put him in the position to play with the starters – instead of with the scrubs late in the games and all that. Because anybody, people not going to respect that. Steve, you remember when Hasselbeck was had a rating of like 200? Hasselbeck to me, now this is just my own opinion, on TV.
Matt Hasselbeck.
On TV. He talks about the quarterback better than anybody on TV.
Agreed.
Trent Dilfer was that guy, but I don't see Trent no more.
Trent Dilfer don't have a job. They let him go.
Yeah, Hasselbeck. Hey, man, Hasselbeck was putting up historical numbers in preseason. People wanted Brett Favre gone.
Yep.
Because he was getting the opportunity. Now, Hasselbeck did go to a Super Bowl, you know, so he put in work. And he has a great dad, too. So my thing is, let's find out, guys, the next 2 weeks. Put him out there. Let him get the reps. You know, Aaron's not going to play the fourth preseason game. Let him start that game and play a lot. Let's find out. Because I think they know what they got in Kizer. And he, like I said again, he's improved as well. If both guys improve, I'm elated. But I need to find out if 8 can be the guy. Because he has the moxie, he has a strong arm. He's a pocket quarterback for the system. And he got to be able to protect himself, move around. I think he can do that.
And it strangely feels like the offense moves a little bit better when Tim Boyle's in, and he only threw 5 balls, Gary. Yeah. 3 for 5 last week.
Yeah.
Did have a touchdown pass.
But Daniel
pass,
Jones
was
5 for 5. Now they want Eli Manning gone. So.
But that's a first-round pick. This is a dude that played at Eastern Kentucky.
Well, he's earned the right to play some.
There's plenty differences here, and actually Tim Boyle, the older of Deshaun Kizer and Tim Boyle. Gary, do you believe Tim Boyle could actually be a long-term option at quarterback?
I don't know. I think we need to see more of him. I'm like Leroy. I mean, maybe he needs to start a game or two so we can really find out where he's at. I mean, being in with some, you know, your first, second line starters so you know where you're at. But most certainly he looks good. I mean, right now, Billy, he has probably looked the best since they had Matt Flynn as a backup. I will say that. Because DeShone Kizer has had some problems, right? We've seen that. Boyle, you need to see more so you can see if he can be exposed. We know that DeShone Kizer is exposed. I think we all feel that. But we don't know that about Tim Boyle. I mean, we don't know if it's real what we're seeing. And the only way you're going to know that if he gets more playing time with the first line unit. Now, none of these guys, like Matt Flynn, although Leroy Lewis to Hasselback, he went on to start somewhere else. Brunell went on to start somewhere else. I don't see Boyle being like Hasselback or Matt Flynn, or even Matt Flynn or Brunell just yet. Because Matt Flynn was a hell of a backup quarterback.
Yeah. Sure. And then went to Seattle, got the nice money, and then they ended up drafting Russell Wilson and got beat out.
But they didn't think Russell – well, you know that. They didn't think Russell Wilson was going to do that.
Well, no, that's why they took him in the third round.
Right.
414-799-1250. Do you believe that Tim Boyle could be a long-term option at quarterback? Sparky, long-term can mean different things to different people. It can mean a long-term option as the backup quarterback for an extended period of time. Some people, as I was driving back last week from Green Bay after the game, listening to our friends up at WDUZ up in Green Bay, and people were talking like this dude was going to be a guy that could start in the league. I had many people say that he was better than Brian Hoyer, who had started playoff games in this league.
I wouldn't go that far.
And backed up Tom Brady for multiple years. For you, do you believe Tim Boyle can be a long-term option at quarterback, depending on what that means to you?
No, but I think he could be the backup over DeShone Kizer this year. I think that's a possibility with Manny Wilkins as the third-string quarterback and DeShone Kizer out. I think that could very well happen before this whole thing is said and done. Could he be a backup for 7-8 years behind Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, probably. You stick around long enough and you get this offense known like the back of your hand,
right,
they're not going to let you go. Now, the way you're going to get to be that starting quarterback is, like Hasselbeck, you got to put on a show in preseason. That's the only chance you get. Mark Brunell, same thing. Had to put on a show. And that's how he got his chance in the expansion draft to go play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And with Hasselbeck, he got his chance because Mike Holmgren left and went to Seattle, knew how good he was, and wanted him to be his quarterback, and it worked because he got him to the Super Bowl in Seattle. Didn't win, but got him to the Super Bowl. You have to perform in the preseason. Now, this is a little bit different with Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, isn't nearly as healthy as Brett Favre. Most quarterbacks aren't. So you will have some opportunities if you're the number two quarterback on this team to have some regular season snaps because Rodgers can't stay on the field necessarily as much as Brett. So then you have to take care of those two. Just raw eye looking at him, I think he could be a backup quarterback in this league for 7 or 8 years, maybe longer. Starting quarterback, I don't know about that. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know if he's at that level. Time will tell.
414-799-1250. Do you believe Tim Boyle can be a long-term option at quarterback? I know a long-term option for dinner is always Wendy's.
Football equals family time and tailgating. And Wendy's has you covered. Family chili and family nuggets. Had some of that chili the other day. Oh, my goodness. That chili is so good.
I'm
going
to tell you why I like that chili.
That chili is so good.
It has more meat than beans.
You're right about that.
Yeah, I don't like that chili. All beans. Like, where the meat? And like, what's up, man? It's a lot of... Until Mandela and Austin got the rest of it.
And then it was all done after that. I had a cup until they took it
all. I told Sheila from now on, bring the food to the back door so these guys won't get a hold to it.
Family chili and family nuggets at Wendy's are the perfect addition to your game day. For only $9.99, you can get family nuggets. That's 48 nuggets, regular or spicy, for just $9.99. Or for only $9.99, you can get a family chili that feeds 4 to 6 people, again, for just $9.99. Take advantage of family chili and family nuggets at Wendy's today.
414-799-1250. We get Adam McAlvey and Ben Fennell this hour. Adam McAlvey going to calm all Brewers fans down or maybe hype them up. And Ben Fennell telling you what you should be looking for tonight, what he saw in the last couple of days for the Green Bay Packers at practice, last preseason game. But right now, what have you seen from Tim Boyle? Have you seen enough to make him a long-term option? Got a question for Leroy Butler after this on the Wendy's Big Show.
Well, I thought I had found me a girl. Sweetest little thing in the world. Jokes went up in smoke when I called her making eyes at Merle. say the sweet little honey, where they're high on your money, is gonna take every penny you got. I said she's never gonna get it, cause I've already spent it, bro. It's all going to pot. It's all going to pot. Whether we like it or not, the best I can tell, the world's gone to hell, and we're all gonna miss it a lot. All the whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee, just couldn't hit the spot. Got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot.
Willie Nelson on a Throwback Thursday. Farm Aid Performers, your winner from last week. Nominees for next week: Steve Miller Band, Waylon Jennings, 90s Boy Bands, Sublime. Well, you can get tickets to the Sublime concert. Use the hashtag Big Throwback. Tweet it at 105.7 FM The Fan. Be registered in for those tickets on the other side of the glass. Cautiously counting up the votes, tallying up all over the place. It's Anthony Mandela. Anthony, do we have an update on the Throwback Thursday? Appears one would be running away.
Yeah, one is running away. Mr. Waylon Jennings.
Mr. Waylon Jennings running away with it. Anybody in striking distance / a vote for the Steve Miller Band?
There is one vote for the Steve Miller Band.
Smart
they
guy.
Are tied with the pack for third.
Nice. That's a smart guy right there.
You guys ever seen Waylon Jennings in real life?
Can't say I have. Okay. 105.7 FM, The Fan's Wendy's Big Show, 2 to 6 weekdays here. Guys, if you want to golf with the guys from the Wendy's Big Show or anybody else, Chuck and Winkler, Bart, he'll be back. Bill Michaels, Joe Zenzola, Radio Joe Zenzola. Maybe you get a golf lesson from Chuck Freeman. You can do that at the 13th Annual Perkins Restaurant and Bakery's Fan Charity Golf Outing benefiting Give Kids the World. It comes up on September 25th at Western Lakes Golf Club in Pewaukee. It's your chance to golf with guys from The Fan, like us, or other local celebrities, like Kevin Holden, who was in today earlier today on Chuck and Winkler. You can meet Kevin Holden and see all the weight loss that he's done and all the weight gain that I've done. It's only $125 for a great day of golf. We'll provide breakfast from Perkins, lunch from Robert's Specialty Meats, dinner from Saz's is there as well. It all the details now, and sign up today at 1057FMTheFan.com.
And thanks to a couple of our great sponsors as well as Great Lakes Dragaway on board again this year. So thanks to Roy Henning and all those guys down at Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. Great place for affordable family fun. And new sponsors as of yesterday, Lincoln Contractor Supply, was just driving by one of their trucks today on Highway 100, and the Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center, which is also something you need when you live in Wisconsin and the snow starts flying.
That place is sweet. I never actually thought that I'd be able to work on my slice while snow was flying, but I tried to work on it and it didn't necessarily work, but they're smarter than me over there.
You ever received golf lessons before?
When I was like 6 years old.
So not as an adult.
No, not as an adult. I think there's just too much to it. Like, the swing coach to me, I'm just going to go up there, hit it, and see how far I can go. 414-799-1250. Do you believe Tim Boyle can be a long-term option at quarterback? Leroy Butler says, got to see him with some dudes that are going to be playing on actual Sundays first. What say you? 414-799-1250. This is always fun. Trav is in Brown Deer. He picked up
phone. What's up, Trav?
He's now on the Wendy's
What's
Big
going
Show.
On? Hey. The Saints, you know, because Teddy just signed with the Saints for 1 year, right?
Teddy Bridgewater did, correct. He signed with the New Orleans
That's
Saints.
That's where I wish the Packers would have made a play, because he is, you know, you can put the other third one on the, you know, whatever coming up list, but I wanted them to sign Bridgewater. You know, I know. His knee and stuff, but
they may not want to pay him some, you know, that kind of money, because he would deserve from a first round pick more than what you want to pay a backup. That's the only problem.
Yeah.
What
okay.
you think?
Yep, appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. What you got? You done, Trav?
Thanks,
yeah,
Trav.
Yeah, he's okay. done. 1 year, $7.25 million for Teddy Bridgewater. $6 million of that was a signing bonus down with the New Orleans Saints today. This year.
Say it again.
1 year, $7.25 million. $6 million if that was a signing bonus, so a base salary against a cap of $1.25.
Yeah, see, Packers ain't paying that. I don't know who else said that. I think that's Mandela to look up what veteran quarterbacks are out there, street.
You don't want to know.
Right.
You really
that's
don't want to know. I looked.
Right.
Brock Osweiler, if that does anything for you.
Well, he's played in a game. He's won a game, but I don't know what former first-round pick. I don't know what he's going to want as a backup.
Like, he might want anything if he's going to get a job, right? Like, in that sense, aren't you at this point now saying if you want a job, this is what you're going to get?
Correct. Yeah, the veteran minimum. But he would come in and compete with whoever your backup is. And if you want that to be eight, you know, you got to let him bring him in quick. Let him compete that last preseason game.
Maybe you could get your boy Josh McCown to come out of retirement.
Oh, stop it.
Josh McCown.
Man, why they just won't just let Kaepernick come
on? I mean, man has made $60 million playing in the NFL.
Good for him. God is good.
Yeah, God is good.
God is good.
Hold on a second. Would you want Kaepernick on this team, Gary, to back up Rodgers over what they have?
No.
Ask me.
I know you. You're the one that's lobbying for Kaepernick. I know your answer. He hasn't said anything. That's why I asked him.
But you know what?
Yeah,
if they're going to do that thing in Baltimore, I think he'd be good there.
Sure.
Oh, my God, yeah. At Arizona?
Yeah, with Kyler Murray?
He'd be good there.
They're going to throw it a lot there, though.
Right, because you even saw Marcus Mariota struggle in his offense.
Oh, yeah. He also couldn't stay healthy.
Well, that too, but he couldn't. That's not who Marcus Mariota is. He's not Jared Goff and Rodgers type jokers. He's a
Mariota's decent though.
Yeah, but he's right.
He was playing with a torn ligament in the thumb too last year.
But now there's a guy that you say get some talent around him and would help him. And they didn't do that in Tennessee. Tennessee wanted to run the football, be conservative, and play good defense and play close to the vest. And that's why they were beating people. They were beating people like that.
Because they had defense and because they thought Derrick Henry was the best player they had on offense.
Man, Derrick Henry would run that thing, boss.
They trusted Derrick Henry more than they trusted Mariota. And that's what it comes down to. Okay, but in this offense, are you going to trust whoever is at running back, whoever can stay healthy, or Aaron Rodgers?
Or the full tandem of running backs, too, as well. Because Derrick Henry, to that point, though, they trusted him later on in the season more than anybody else. Yes. But in the first 7 weeks, it was Deion Lewis who was touching the ball more than anybody.
Yeah, correct. But he earned the right, because what he did against Jacksonville earned him a lot of respect. He put up two bills on Jacksonville defense that was very good.
Yeah, he made them all look silly.
Derrick Henry, sure. I don't know what round he's going to go in these fantasy drafts. Although I yelled at our commissioner.
Some right around three or four.
My homeboy, I'm like, why y'all ain't wait to... But these guys that think they know sports and they don't know nothing. Why would you even do the draft now? Wait another 2 weeks. What if somebody get hurt?
Yeah, I did one on Monday night.
Wait till September 1st.
Cause. Luckily, the station leagues is like the 2 days.
You can take my place.
Who's the commissioner of that league?
Winkler.
Oh, Bart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's going to be able to do this?
Oh, yeah.
With the baby and all that?
Yeah, you could do that.
Is he doing it at his house?
Football, can't you?
With the baby, or where are y'all doing it?
Yeah, he can't do nothing to me.
No, I think we're just doing it online. That's what we did last year.
Oh, you can do it right on your phone. The baby would be asleep.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Like, you can't play fantasy football once you have a baby?
You just can't have 17
teams. No, but he's out for a couple weeks, so I didn't know.
Oh,
well,
he really could
be a commissioner now. Yeah, he ain't doing nothing.
Not initially. Yeah, baby sleeps a lot initially.
Well, what we did.
Once that baby stops sleeping, though, then you're up all night.
I'm an expert. What we did is pump.
Can't you just give a baby some Benadryl or something?
I hate.
Well, Leroy got like five or six.
You don't know?
Kids.
The adult version when you want to go to sleep.
Let Leroy talk about kids. You got about five or six of them.
I got more than that.
Tell him how you do it.
Six girls and one boy. I would pump the milk, save it so my wife can stay asleep. Yeah. And I can give it to him. Now, I'm not like.
Time out. What do you mean you pump the milk? You had no breast milk.
They got a pump, cuz. You hook them up and the pump the milk.
From her?
Yes.
Not you. So she's pumping the milk.
No.
You're just watching.
I'm pumping the milk. You put it on there. She can't put it on herself, Steve. Somebody has to put it on her. You put these little things on, right?
She can't put it on herself.
Is it like a bra?
No, man.
Of course she can do it. It would take too long.
It's like suction cups.
Anytime I get a chance to be there, I'm going to be there, Steve. That's what I'm getting at.
That's good.
So I'm going to put them on, and you turn the pump on. Now I got the milk. Now she can stay asleep. I can feed the baby.
I don't know any woman that sleeps through that.
Is that electric pump or pump to sleep?
You plug it up, cuz.
Yeah,
I got batteries,
plug it in the wall. But she slept like a bra through pumping?
Is it a bra?
No, she sat there and waited.
No,
she's not asleep.
It's two suction cups.
Leroy, is it a bra or what?
No, it's not like your boy from Meet the Fockers. But when he had
the one that he put on,
yeah, that was amazing. What's the guy named?
Maybe Tosh is looking at you like he has
Robert
no
De Niro?
Idea.
Yeah, Robert De Niro. Remember he had one. He had
good
one
job,
belt
I just took
like
a guess.
That. You hook a bottle to it,
right?
So the baby can feel like he's getting it from the mom.
He's not like that.
There's no way she slept through that.
No, I didn't say she was asleep. She awake.
No, so she could sleep while LaRoy would then bring the bottle with the breast milk.
I don't have to wake her up and say, okay, the baby's time to eat now, breastfeed.
So you're taking the pump milk and feeding the baby.
Taking the pump milk, put it in the refrigerator, warm it up so she can stay asleep. I don't need her no more. But if you wake her up every night, she can't sleep.
She's got to wake up every 4 hours anyhow to pump.
No, you pump enough, she good. Fuck, you know, almost, you can probably get a day's worth if it's, you catch her right.
Dude, we need to have her on. She's superwoman.
Y'all were doing it all wrong, Steve. Y'all were doing it all wrong.
Oh, please. You got your style of this?
Working too hard.
Go ahead, Gary. What do you got?
I'm just, stop.
You put the pump on. You need to let a young lady rest.
Baytosh, you see this conversation coming
in the morning, get up, go get a bottle. You put a little bottle warmer in it. It just like make a little steam. Just for like 10, 15 seconds, just knock off the chill at the refrigerator, and twist on the bottle, put the nipple on it, and you give it to the baby. Now the baby go right back to sleep. Your wife's still asleep.
So when does she pump, Leroy? How often does she pump? Like three,
well,
we would gauge it every three hours.
When I got low, I said we need to.
So you didn't go like every 3 hours, every 4 hours.
This is still happening,
right? No, I would do it if we went to the park. Now, you'll like this. This will be on Sparky's.
Man, she pumped at Disney World when we were there, sitting on a street corner.
We thought we were hit from everybody before we did that.
Yeah, but we thought we were, well, it's every 4 hours, so you're in Disney
World.
Some
people just pull out ready.
That's right. That's what we were doing. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, you can't breastfeed right there in front of everybody.
No, yeah. I ain't doing that. So we were hit inside, like, by the building on Main Street, right?
Right.
And we thought we were good. Like, okay, we're just sitting over here. Nobody's coming this corner. We're good.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, these two doors opened wide up, and the parade was coming right out of that entrance as we were sitting there. Parade came right out that entrance.
Dinner and a show. Let's talk about the jewelry
side. I don't even know if I can follow that up.
That was the line of the week.
Yeah, dinner and a show, cuz. I don't know if I can do that.
You guys are crazy.
Hey, well, you know what? I was just thinking about as you guys are talking about that, because you know what? My good friend, who are we talking about?
Dean Murray.
Dean Murray, man. Because
I was getting ready to bill you something with J&J Contractors.
I love this guy.
Oh, my goodness.
I was getting ready to bill you one of them birthing room, because my good friends at J&J Contractors,
yeah, you
get
can
you
do
a
that.
Birthing room, because you know they can bill you one. You know, they can insulate the walls and stuff like
you
that.
You can do that.
Well, you don't even really have to hit a baby.
You have a nursery. You have a deal.
Insulate the walls,
yes.
Bill that all the way around.
Great
my
idea.
My good friends over at J&J Contractors can do that if you need a nursery out there. But I want to talk about my good friends over at the Jewelry Center.
Yes, sir.
Because when your girl, I'm assuming, because sometimes you can have a baby out of wedlock. That's really ain't no big thing no more.
Well, but everybody does sometimes.
Right. So sometimes, what I'm just saying, sometimes after she had a baby and everything, Roy, you see what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You need to get herself. You know, because that's, I mean, I haven't seen that. That's a lot of pain, man. That's a lot of blood in there, cuz.
Well, you get an epidural, you done.
Right.
Stay above the equator.
Right, man. You need to go in there and get her something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, get her a little charm necklace or something.
Bracelet or something.
Just, you know.
Oh, a nice wedding ring.
You know, a lot of people, you know, like, when you, what's that thing y'all did when y'all had that little birthing thing, Steve?
Cut the umbilical cord?
No, Xanax?
No.
Xanax? Man, what are you talking about?
When you had the thing, Steve, at the church.
You're
talking about the christening.
Yeah.
You need to get you one of them little pennants or something like that.
Scott Brooks got his son, Jacob, and Danny necklaces.
Yeah. At the jury set.
Yeah, that's
LaRoy where he got Jackson an F-150.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice of him.
What color
we financed
it.
It was green and gold.
Whatever it is, it's metallic.
I thought it was metallic.
Well,
check my good friend Dean Murray out at the Jewelry Center today, guys. 760 Layton Plaza in Brookfield off Blue Mile Road in the Tri-City National Bank building right there on the second floor, guys. And a third location for you in Burlington, Wisconsin. What you got?
Hey, go to shoptjc.com. You can get whatever you want. Somebody live chat. I want to thank Dean because he's also become a sponsor of my football camp August the 20th. And I think we still got about 10 to 12 spaces left.
We got about 12 spaces left. Right?
Yeah, so if I say 10 to 12, it's probably like 4. But you can go online today, www.NLRoy.org, and sign up. It's only $20. It's for the church, my brother-in-law, Jatan Davis Jr. Jatan Davis Jr. birthday actually is tomorrow. But his dad is the pastor, Jatan Davis. And Dean Murray is one of the sponsors. We appreciate that. That's New Life Worship Center. And also,
like
Sheila's Wendy is also a sponsor. They're going to give the kids some treats. So I appreciate Sheila coming through. Wendy's is amazing. I love Wendy.
You going to get anything to drink over there, Roy? You got any water or something?
Always drink water.
And we pumped enough drinks for the reception, maybe. I don't know. Adam McKelvey joins us next when he's Big Show on the Fan.
To mean that much to you, I've been first and last. Look at how the time goes past. But I'm all alone at last, rolling home to you. Oh man, take a look at my life, I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. I want look in my eyes and you can tell.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh on 105.7 FM, The Fan. I tell you about Sight and Sound Solutions, AT&T, I can say it, and DirecTV, a beautiful couple. TV and internet for as low as $85 a month. Choice package included with DirecTV, including Fox Sports Wisconsin. Watch your favorite baseball and basketball teams there. NFL Sunday Ticket at no additional cost. And again, if you're a fancy football player, this is a no-brainer. And $200 in Visa cards. You can use them anywhere Visa is accepted. But wait for it. Sight and Sound Solutions, they can do even more now. Sight and Sound Solutions can offer you a U-verse bundle, the new AT&T fiber internet, AT&T wireless phones. If you want it, they got it. Basically, the entire lineup for AT&T services. As an existing customer, if you feel your package deal could be better, well, they can help you with that too. Wouldn't you rather call a 262 number and talk to the local guy that's been doing this entertainment stuff for over 15 years? Our guy Al is the best and customer service unmatched. Sight and Sound Solutions, a preferred retailer for AT&T. Call him today, 262-754-1500. That's 262-754-1500. NFL Sunday Ticket on Mackley renews each season at prevailing rate. Let's cancel prior to the start of the season. Select international games excluded. Remote access to one game at a time. Data charges may apply. Call for details. Now hold on before Adam McKelvey comes on. Gary Ellerson, we were in the last segment talking about breastfeeding and that whole deal, right? So I went and I got some show and tell stuff here. Out of my pocket here. See, so that's kind of how it works, right there, Laura. This is what she used, right? Something like this, right
where
here.
Where you
just like yeah, this, right? Where, right. Just like it. This, right?
You just keep right. that in your pocket.
So,
man, I got stuff everywhere. So, yeah. Hey, man. So, like, you plug in one side, it goes into
yeah.
the body.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
A cord.
And then the
milk
right.
comes down.
Exactly. The milk
right.
comes down. And it hooks right up into a machine to plug it in.
Leroy didn't have one of them.
Yeah, we did.
It's the same thing you have, right?
You had like a bra.
Just like
Leroy.
That.
Just like this.
No, Leroy, she had a strap in bra, right? Look like a bra.
No. It looks like that.
Just like this, right?
Sure?
Yeah. So, again, I'm glad
yeah,
I can help
I was
you
there.
Out. Billy, do you understand now?
Sure.
More than I've ever wanted.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McKelvey. Brought to you by the Law Offices of Thomas Morola. Online at MorolaLaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Writing for Brewers.com and MLB.com and joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show is Adam McKelvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider. Adam, a couple of tough hard-fought games in the last couple of days for the Milwaukee Brewers, but let's start out with the injury front. Is there any new timetable for when we might see a couple of these starters that are on the IL right now for the crew?
No, because they're not on the mound. If we're talking about Woodruff and Chacin, the kind of long-term guys, until they get on a mound, it's really hard to know a timetable for them. So that means it's weeks away, and I think maybe I said this yesterday to you guys that the next couple of weeks seem to me to be about can the pitching kind of bridge these next few weeks until September call-ups and until the return of Brandon Woodruff. And, you know, I'll put Jolie Chacin in there if he can figure out a way to pitch well. To get him back and get some good innings from him would be a big help. But over the next couple of weeks, they're going to have to get by with the guys that they have because those two pitchers are still working their way back. The one who's close is Zach Davies. It looks like Monday in St. Louis for him because they've got the rotation set for this weekend against the Nationals. And then they could bring back Gio because he pitched. He was kind of in limbo about whether he was going to pitch against the Twins or wait to pitch in Washington. They used him against the Twins, so he can come back for that second game in St. Louis. So It looks like Davies will get back in. And look, he's another guy who pitched really well for them early. Then he had a stretch where he wasn't, you know, pitching very well at all. And he was talking about some mechanical things that he's intent on doing to, A, stay healthy, and, B, get back to the way he was performing early in the year. So I think it's this first one off the DL is kind of a big outing for him because he has some ideas in mind to kind of get back on track.
Let's talk a little bit about Josh Hader because he is the one that everybody is talking about at this point, yeah. Correct? Okay. So when we talk about Hader and his struggles as of late, he talks about the fact that, well, it's just not locating my pitches. And if I locate my pitches better, this won't be an issue. I won't give up as many home runs as I have. I was listening earlier today to MLB Radio, and they were talking about 89% of his first pitches to batters he faces. That's not the first batter he faces. Every batter, 89% of first pitches are four-seam fastballs at this point. 89%. Yep. And they were just saying, look, I mean, not saying that you, because you know a four-seam fastball is coming, that you can hit it, but it makes it a lot easier when you know that is coming at this point. And if he does miss on location, that's what's going to happen. Is there any concern that he's throwing that pitch maybe too much and becoming too predictable?
Well, look, I mean, that's the question. And they really, inside the clubhouse, say that it is not a problem of predictability. It is a problem of execution. Because I really believe what's being lost in this discussion, because he's given up a lot of home runs overall and a lot of home runs lately, is the fact that he is still the hardest guy to hit in the entire league, even after all this stuff. Now, I think I need to look, because when I looked yesterday, there's a Cardinals reliever who is 1/1000th of a point and has a lower batting average against. But otherwise, Hader is the hardest guy to hit in the National League. And I understand the home runs are killing him right now. And it's partly because the role he's in, by nature, he's pitching in close games. The offense of this team is, you know, rolling, and they're playing a lot of close games, period. So every time he gives up a homer, it's in a situation that kills you. Well, I mean, that's kind of life as a closer. But I really believe that, you know, if you want Josh Hader to change, you're telling that the hardest guy to hit in the National League should make changes. And look, maybe that's true, but that's a little bit of a hard sell when you think of it that way.
Talking with Adam McAlvey here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You know, I agree with you, too. And I just think, too, I mean, if you look at the situation, he's just in a different spot, too, in a different situation this year than he was last year. Now, he's trying to do the best that he's trying to do, but I think eventually all this catches up with you. I mean, listen, last year Jeffries was a much better pitcher than he is this year. Knebel, I don't even think he really replaced him yet, and that just kind of put, I think, Hader in a tough spot.
Yeah, look, I mean, if they're paying, I think there's an argument to be made that they're paying the price for riding that bullpen to Game 7 of the NLCS last year. I don't blame them for doing that. I don't think they'd get that far if they tried doing it another way. They were really good in large part because of those guys at the back end of their pen. And I would put, in the second half in the postseason, Joaquin Soria was a really important part of that bullpen, and now he's gone. And you take away Corey Knebel, you put in sort of 75% of Jeremy Jeffress, and Josh Hader, who's been good, it's not as formidable a group as it was, and they're kind of asking the same thing from them.
Right.
And Craig Council says this. He knows they're asking a lot of these guys. But it's really hard in situations where, you know, you have an opportunity to win a game, you're in a contending situation, you look at the options that are available that they've been given in that bullpen. Yesterday they won a game without using Josh Hicks. I think most days they're going to want to use Josh Hader in that spot. And it's a difficult position to be in when you have one guy that you can really count on. And Matt Albers has been good, and I would put him in the group of guys you can really count on. Guerra's been good at times. Claudio's been good at times. But there's not the certainty that they had to have three or four really, really sure options out of that pen. This year they kind of have one. And it is taking a toll, I think, on everybody. And it's taking a toll on – it's probably part of the Josh Hader story. You know, why is he missing his spots is a fair question. You know, fatigue is one thing you think about. And sometimes a guy doesn't feel tired, but he's just carried this heavy load now for 2 years. I think it's fair to question whether just that is part of the story of why he's not putting that fastball where he wants to. Because if you look at the homers he's given up lately, it's almost always a fastball down in the zone. And we always used to think pitchers wanted to keep the ball down. Well, that's no more. Now they want the ball up, up, up. And when he is up, it's really tough to hit. But it's been down in the zone, and a good major league hitter that knows the fastball is coming, as you guys said, they can hit that out of the ballpark, and that's what they're doing right now.
I think it's the equivalent of your quarterback throwing an interception. It's going to happen every now and then, but it's not going to kill your long term, so I'm okay with it. I want to talk about something I'm excited about, and that's Trent Grisham. I mean, I didn't know nothing about this kid, Adam. I mean, I was reading your story on Brewers.com. It's amazing. I also want you to touch a little bit on Ray Black. These are people that Brewer fans may not know a lot of, but may play a big part if they're going to try to get from 1.5 games back to first place.
Well, look, I mean, Grisham is really important right now because Lorenzo Cain continues to have just a bad year. And I think the difference that you saw in this, at least this last couple of games against the Twins, is the frustration of that showing out there on the field for everybody to see, where he's chucking his helmet, he's chucking his bat. He is really, really mad at himself about the offensive season that he's having. It is way below his standards. He thinks he has a lot of baseball left in him, and this is not the kind of player he wants to be, especially after being such a good on-base player for the Brewers last season, and a huge part of Christian Yelich being as good as he was last season. And Kane has not been that igniter. So here comes Trent Grisham, and they're using him in the leadoff spot. He's got the tools for that. They're using him in center field. He can play anywhere in the outfield. And he's given a little jolt with the bat. And I think him and Keston Hira, the way Council put it yesterday, is, you know, sometimes the rookies can give you a little bounce. And certainly those two guys are doing it right now. They're hitting what yesterday was leadoff and cleanup. Mm-hmm. They're just playing prominent roles for this team right now. And, you know, I said at the end of yesterday's press conference, I said, you know, could we see Grisham take some time from Lorenzo Cain? And the way Council put it is they've already done that a little bit. You know, they've tried to give Lorenzo Cain a couple of days to sort of clear his mind, hit that reset, that mental reset button a little bit. And it hasn't happened for Lorenzo Cain yet. So Grisham becomes a really important player over the next couple of weeks because I expect we're going to see a fair amount of them. So it's somewhat tricky to get him in that lineup when you have Braun, Cain, and Yelich. But with Braun needing the days and with Cain just not performing, I think there's ways to get Grisham in there essentially every day. And let's see if Council does it over the next couple of weeks. And Ray Black is another guy without a lot of major league experience, but an interesting player, one of the trade deadline pickups when David Stearns kind of pivoted towards getting a lot of depth, mm-hmm. Throws really hard, wants to be a pitcher, not just a thrower, a guy who's overcome some really serious injuries. Tommy John coming out of high school, and then a bad shoulder injury just as he was getting going in the Giants minor league system. So he's 29, but he's missed so many years with injuries. I think it was 2 years with the shoulder and then obviously a full year with Tommy John. So, you know, he's kind of like a 25, 26-year-old
right.
in terms of experience in the game. And if he can figure out command, he's definitely a guy – that can help them. And look, we've talked about this bullpen. They need all the sure arms they can get. And if he can be a little guy to give them a jolt there in a short period of time, it would be very helpful.
I thought it was interesting you hear Counts say it yesterday, Adam, that they're expecting he could be a back-end guy on the flagship before the game yesterday. On assignment this weekend, Adam McKelvey. So he joins us on a Thursday instead of a Friday. Adam, appreciate it, man, and enjoy. And we'll talk after the road trip. And St. Louis, here we come. That's going to be a fun series coming up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, a bunch of St. Louis, bunch of Cups coming up. So a really big stretch.
Adam McKelvey, appreciate it, brother. Have a good one.
All right, see you guys.
Adam McKelvey joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. On the other side, at @BenFennel_NFL. If you're not following that yet, you should, and you'll know why next. Ben Fennel joins us on the Wendy's Big Show. Fennel @FennelNFL gives us a lot to talk about. He analyzes film on the Green Bay Packers and tweets out just the most comprehensive reviews that you'll find. Go follow along right now at @BenFennel_NFL. And Ben Fennel joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ben, welcome back for another good year of Packers football and another year of breaking down film. You're one of the best in the business. We appreciate the time.
Well, it's always a pleasure to hop on with you, and it's preseason week two, and there's no place I'd rather be than ready to look at some football tonight.
No doubt about it, and for me, I'm just more excited to, and I know this sounds, you know, cheese ball of me or cheese head of me, if you want to say it that way, I'm excited just to see Aaron Rodgers in a new offense.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair for most Packers fans and football fans in general. It's always exciting to watch Aaron Rodgers out there, and there's some new life in Green Bay. There's a new offense, and there's that little bit of unknown optimism, which is always exciting anytime you have some new coaches and some new voices in there. We're hoping to see some new things, so it's an exciting time. It's just an unknown, uncharted time for Aaron Rodgers.
I want your take on Jake Kumerow and how good you think this dude is, how good you think he can be, because that dude is loved here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, and he does all the dirty work and all the stuff you would expect a bottom of the roster, you know, player to do, and obviously playing really well, whether it's with the starters when he gets those opportunities, or playing well on special teams, or with the third unit, the fourth unit, maybe being the Z in the offense with one group, and then over to the F, and then playing the X when the receiver goes down. And that's everything you want from that bottom of the roster guy. It's just a matter if the numbers make sense and if there's room for him at the end of the summer.
And I also think, you look at some of these guys that they've talked about. Kumerow's one of those guys. But I think you also look at, they have a lot of young guys right now being like at certain spots that they really haven't seen, like Savage. I mean, he's going to get a shot tonight. And what have you seen so far out of him? Not much, obviously.
Well, we haven't seen a lot. Obviously, he's been up and down in camp and then has the wisdom teeth out. But what I saw on the tape at the University of Maryland was an explosive player that I really haven't seen on the back end of the Packers defense in maybe 10, 15 years since the likes of, you know, Nick Collins and Leroy Butler out there. But a guy that is a legit 4-3 player that gets from point A to point B in a flash. He's got coverage instincts. He's got ball skills. He loves to blitz and play aggressive. He's a little bit undersized. But, man, he goes, just haven't had that type of playmaker over the defense. And I think that revolving door we've had at the safety position, and we really haven't gotten the plays out of our linebacking unit over the past couple of years, I think this type of safety and the nucleus of the defense right in the middle is just going to be a big play waiting to happen.
I think another part of that, and you talk about keep it right in the secondary, is a second-year leap that you expect to see from Jaire Alexander, some thinking that it could be a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type leap.
I really think he's on a trajectory to put himself into the conversation of being all-pro cornerback, and there's only two of those in the NFL, and I really think it might not be this year. I think he's kind of looking at a Pro Bowl, and then if he stays on the path, man, this kid has all the tools, and what he put on tape as a rookie, which you really don't get from rookie cornerbacks. Jaire Alexander last year and Marshawn Lattimore with the Saints the year before were some of the most impressive rookie performances I've ever seen, because it's typically a learn-on-the-job position. You're going to go through some lumps, and typically you don't really get your footing until year two, even into year three. That's what Darrelle Revis had to do, even being a first-round pick. That's what Richard Sherman did up in Seattle. It took kind of a two-year developmental process, and you have to really go through some lumps and learn on the job at cornerback. I was very impressed with what Jaire Alexander did last year.
Can we just stay right there, Steve, with the corners? And so Kevin King, Tony Brown?
Well, Kevin King, unless he can prove he can be a consistent contributor and stay on the field, I'm going to reserve judgment because I really haven't been able to see him on a week-to-week basis on the field. And until I do, I really have to reserve judgment until I see him healthy and a consistent contributor. Tony Brown, I think, is another guy on the bottom of the roster. Obviously, he played a little bit last year, so he knows the system coming back to the defense. He has all the talent and the upside in the world. He's another legit freak athlete, a legit 4-3 player. And it's just a matter of where you feel comfortable playing him. If he's a guy that can be your fifth corner and maybe be your third nickel and even contribute in the safety position, that's a valuable, versatile member with a lot of athleticism. And if a guy like that can embrace the special teams aspect of the football team, this is a guy you want on your roster. I'm a big Tony Brown fan.
Good. All right, since we're talking about people that can't stay healthy, let's move on to Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, both of whom are having issues staying healthy, obviously, this year. Aaron Jones having issues staying healthy in general in his career at this point. How different is this offense than if they can't stay on the field during the season?
Well, I expect it to be a running back by committee, and I'm just hoping for a collective emphasis to the run game. It doesn't have to be 300 touches for Aaron Jones or an equal distribution. More of just a collective philosophical commitment to the run game. Last year, the Packers were last in the league with 333 running attempts. That's the fewest a team has ended the season with since the 2013 Atlanta Falcons. That's nearly six seasons of football, and they had the fewest rushing attempts last year. This team needs an identity, and I think if you have that identity through the run game, through the offensive line, through this kind of stable of running backs, I see the preservation of Aaron Rodgers' career through the run game. And maybe it isn't the sexiest when you have the best-armed quarterback in the league and a playmaker at the quarterback position, but if you can build this offense through the run game and then add all those wrinkles and all those different concepts you could build off the run game, like we see in San Francisco, like we see Sean McVay running with the Los Angeles Rams, I just think the sky is the limit if you can just build a philosophical commitment to running the ball.
Talking with Ben Fennell at @BenFennell_NFL. Follow along with his film breakdowns each week of the Green Bay Packers. Ben, the position grouping breakdown is, I think, something that I'm very excited to see. When you look at like the Sean McVay style, they stick to usually one personnel grouping or a couple multitudes of a personnel grouping. If this is more Kyle Shanahan style with Matt LaFleur, I know we're going to see a lot of 21 personnel and a lot of 22 personnel, two backs and two wide receivers. But the fullback emphasis is something that's going to be new or new to you if you're a Packer fan just missing from last year.
Yeah, I mean, Sean McVay, he's a sicko. He played 11 personnel close to 98% last year. That is really tough to do in today's NFL climate when you have all these versatile running backs and different tight ends and you want to try to manipulate defenses or personnel groupings. McVay's like, you know what? The heck with it. We're going with the same look, the same players, 11 personnel, three receivers, let's roll. And it works for him because he has a system that all looks the same, so defenses really don't know what to expect. Now, it's definitely going to be more of the Kyle Shanahan offense. Multiple personnel groupings, a two-back sets, like you had mentioned. They're not going to be shy about getting multiple tight ends on the field either. We're still going to see a heavy dose of 12 personnel, maybe even 13 personnel with three tight ends on the field, considering the way Robert Tonyan and Jimmy Graham and obviously Jake Sternberger can contribute in the pass game. Obviously, getting those multiple tight ends and just messing with defenses and manipulating them through personnel groupings is really an exciting, you know, optimism for an offense. And a lot of these players aren't always going to be lined up where you think they are. I think we may have some fullback sets where the fullback's going to be lined up out wide. And that helps quarterbacks and offenses acquire information from defenses. And if you're not using these different personnel groupings and these variety of players to help acquire information and manipulate defenses, you're not playing the game. And that's really what offense is all about in football.
Ben, let me ask you this. This may be a tough question for you to answer, but if you look at the offensive personnel for the Rams or for the 49ers versus the offensive personnel for the Green Bay Packers, who would have the advantage? Or how would you rank that?
That's a really good question. Now, I think the personnel of the Rams is interesting. I think they have some very good route runners and some sure-handed receivers in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. I don't think their tight end group is overly dynamic. They have Gerald Everett in there. They have Tyler Higbee, who's a little bit more of a blocking tight end. And we all know how good Todd Gurley is.
Right.
A lot of defenses are looking at that stable of weapons and saying, even Jared Goff, they're saying, who do we need to stop? That guy in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And they commit to running the ball, and they make defenses stop the run. The most frustrating aspect, when I look at the Packers offense, and then I look at the Rams, or even Blake Bortles with the Jags a couple years ago, or when Case Keenum went to the NFC Championship game with the Vikings, Aaron Rodgers is more talented than all these quarterbacks.
Correct.
But he doesn't need to be a superhero for you to move the ball down the field consistently. Jared Goff is an average quarterback. But this is an elite scheme. If your scheme wins, your quarterback doesn't need to be a hero. He doesn't need to extend the play and break the pocket and make these miraculous tight window throws. Play within structure. Trust the system. Trust that the scheme is going to give you answers to problems. If there's a pressure problem, we have an answer. If they're playing man, we have an answer. Zone coverage, we have an answer. Your offense should have answers. And if you trust the scheme and trust the system, Aaron Rodgers is way more talented than all these quarterbacks.
So now,
the moniker over the last year has been offense doesn't have to be so hard.
So now you are getting, I guess, to the crux of the matter. Is that can Aaron Rodgers play within the system and play within the scheme? Because it just felt like oftentimes under Mike McCarthy, he was basically all over the place doing his own thing. And I understand in this, in LaFleur's offense, the audibles are going to be at a minimum.
Well, and that's a great point that he had, because he's saying, well, why would you want to throw out 11 years of my knowledge?
Right.
Because the offense is going to have answers. We won't need you to make all these checks.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the offense has structural answers to defensive problems. And if he has to trust the system in the scheme. And listen, Aaron Rodgers has blessed us with amazing plays outside of structure, improvisational, extending the play, scramble drill. He's earned every right to play however he wants to. But that tank dried up. In the last 2 years, it completely dried up. Now we need to pull the reins back and pull him back within structure. And I really think I could see the preservation of his career through structure and through the run game. Look at any quarterback that plays into the twilight of their career, into their 40s. Everybody plays from the pocket first and foremost. You don't see Kurt Warner breaking the pocket or Drew Brees or Tom Brady. They play from the pocket because they know what they're looking at. They're distributors first and foremost, and they're playing within structure. We don't need them to be superheroes. Just run the offense.
Yeah, Ben, man, this is amazing. I mean, this is good stuff.
We missed him, Leroy. We missed him.
Yeah, yeah.
He laid it down.
I'm glad I booked you for today. This is amazing. I want to talk about Kevin King for just five milliseconds.
We already talked about him.
Yeah, but I want to ask a different question.
Okay.
If the competitive part of the Tony Browns of the world, the Jair Alexanders of the world, does it really matter who's at corner or safety, if it's a rookie, if Summers is the middle linebacker? It doesn't matter if the scheme is not a scheme that everybody buys into. If it's a good scheme, will it work and you don't need a lot of Pro Bowlers? I'm just building off your last point.
Yeah, and you know, it's all a matter of how you're dialing up that scheme. If it's Mike Pettine with the Jets and you're playing a press lock and you're playing quarters with the safeties rotated over the other side, he's looking for a superhero corner that you don't need help over the top and to play press man and leave him alone. Now, that's a scheme that you're looking for superheroes. If you don't play that type of scheme, yes, the defense is much more interchangeable. You could have young players. You could have some veterans. If everybody trusts the scheme, understands their assignments, which was the most impressive part of Mike Pettine last year, is there were very few coverage busts. There were very few confused players out in the secondary, which I felt really was the problem with Dom Capers' scheme, is there was always confusion and busts and guys in the wrong spot.
Yes.
And confusion with zones on the back end and whether people had help over the top. And I was just very impressed that Mike Pettine came in with a new coach, a new voice, a new scheme, and a lot of young players to work in. And everybody seemed to understand what they were trying to do. So if you have that collective cohesion, I think it should be interchangeable, and it really doesn't matter who you're out there.
Well, last one, we're going to let you get going, Ben.
I want to ask real quick about Devontae Adams. Why doesn't he get the respect to Antonio Brown, to DeAndre Hopkins, to Julio Jones, all these guys, these top guys? But I guess a lot of people had him number one wide receiver in fantasy football. Why doesn't Devontae Adams get enough credit?
You know, he gets credit among his peers. And I know down that's what matters to him most. And when he hears those other corners talking on top 100 on how wicked his releases are and how nasty his routes are at the top of the stem.
Yep.
I think that's what matters to him first and foremost. Obviously, everybody wants a little love and attention from the fans. But I feel like his kind of development as a receiver really over the last 2 and 3 years has been when the offense has kind of gone down. So when he could kind of go up, when the team and the offense is also ascending, Now you have a national star. So I think if he keeps up this kind of trajectory and the team is going to start winning, make it back to the playoffs, win a playoff game, now you're getting some national attention. And if I could just throw in one last point that I've kind of talked about all summers with Aaron Rodgers and the whole argument of Aaron Rodgers and whether you should allow him to be in structure or out of structure. The one point I just kind of gave as an example a couple weeks ago was, if it's third and four and they're slant flat and you have the read that you want and the slant is wide open.
He's going deep, Ben. He's going deep. He's going deep,
if
Ben.
If the quarterback doesn't throw it, breaks the pocket and runs for 5 yards, do you give him a positive or do you give him a negative? And I give that quarterback a negative 8 days out of the week. You design plays with execution in mind to run the play that's called. And if you got what you want, you take it every time. We don't rely on improvisation. If offense is there that we design, you take it.
So Ben, so we'll get going on this, but who's going to hold this guy accountable for that? That's not going to happen.
That's what I don't know, Gary, and I don't really know. In every camp, I promise you, Bill Belichick in front of the team puts up Tom Brady's worst clips to the entire team, and he sits there like a curmudgeon and says, "Oh, look at this. We got a quarterback who can't even complete a ball to the flat. Man, we're not going to win any games this year." That's not for Tom. That's for the entire team to know. Nobody gets a free pass. Even our best player has to be held accountable just as much as everybody else. And that's what I don't know has been going on in the building. I don't know if he's been held accountable. I don't know if he's coachable. I'm not in there every day. But those are the things I'm kind of wondering. And, yes, number 12 does need to be held accountable. He's talented, but he's also flawed.
Let's get real quick. I love this. We could talk later, but let's get. When's you gonna come in studio? No, that's okay.
We got no budget for that.
We can fly him in here, Roy. You got a lot of money. You're gonna be a Hall of Famer one day. Let's get to the front seven. This front seven, the Smith guys, Fackrell, Rashawn Gary, Gilbert. What are we better than what we were last year with this group?
I think so, because my one element of the team that I didn't think we had, whether it was Mike Daniels or Nick Perry, they lacked it an explosive element.
Right.
Now, they had some disruption. Mike Daniels is a disruptor. Nick Perry is a disruptor. But it just takes some time. It's a bit of a slow burn pass rush. Za'Darius Smith has an explosive element to him. Rashawn Gary, man, you can't teach 6'3", 270 and run a 4.58. Mm-hmm. This guy is an explosive, explosive player. And when you look at the best defenses around the NFL, it's the teams that disrupt and disrupt quickly. And that's whether it's the Bears front or the Eagles defensive line. And I think if you get more players that can win quickly with an explosive first step, with a violent demeanor to them, like a Za'Darius Smith, like a Preston Smith, like a Rashawn Gary, I think these guys you want that are going to disrupt faster for you.
Ben, appreciate the time, man. We can't wait to talk during the football season. And hold that man accountable, and we'll hold the entire team accountable with your film breakdowns. Guys, if you're not following along right now with Ben Fennell, at @BenFennell_NFL, you're not being the smartest Packer fan you can be. He will help you be a smarter Packer fan with the film breakdowns. Ben, appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Love you, fellas.
Yep.
That's Ben Fennell joining us again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935. You came in the middle of that. Make sure you go to 1057fmthefan.com. Click on Fan On Demand after 6 o'clock and hear the whole breakdown of Ben Fennell before Packers and Ravens. That was outstanding stuff.
He's one of the best.
By far, one of the best.
I noticed Steve didn't jump in when he was talking about Aaron. I noticed.
You all had it on lock. Why did you need me to come in for?
I wanted you to jump in and tell them about the shirts and stuff.
Oh, the revenge tour?
Yeah, I
wanted to tell them all that. We can do that next week. Sure.
He's already got one. I actually already sent him one. He's already in.
Don't sound like it. Don't sound like you got no revenge to a shirt.
Got it. One of the best in the business is Beauforting. Encourages you to Beauforting all summer long, and the only way to do that is drinking in the Boff. This summer with an all-natural beer made with 3 all-natural ingredients. Fresh spring water, the finest barley, and the choicest hops. That's it. No additives, no artificial flavors. Just beer made with a commitment to quality. You'll notice the difference superior ingredients make immediately when you're enjoying the crisp Pilsner, the smooth triple ale, or the perfectly balanced Brune. And thanks to Beauforting's 100% natural ingredients and commitment to quality, all of its beers give you the full flavor with a crisp, clean finish. You'll drink in the Boff at places like Cafe Hollander, Cafe Benelux this year, or if you like drinking in the Boff in the comfort of your own home, best way to do that, a six-pack from Total Wine & More, Consumer Beverage, or any Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly location. If you're drinking in the Boff this year, go all natural and drink in the Boff with me at Bill Schmidt Radio. Bofording Bill is here to tell you, drink in the Boff and enjoy it this year. All natural Bofording beer. 105.7 FM, The Fan, Wendy's Big Show. Back after this, Mike Clemens in 20 minutes on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.